This is CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, Lionel Makokotlela. Welcome, Lions.
Dumela, Gary, and Dumela to our podcasters and every single person who has tuned in at this point in time.
Today's show is about trusts.
What is trust?
Trust me, Lions. Trust me. You'll find out all about it.
Okay, trust to trust you.
I think everyone wants to know what the very question you ask. What exactly is a trust? Yes. When do you need one? How is the darn thing formed, Lions? And how do you transfer your assets into a trust?
Mm-hmm. And protect them, in the which is the fundamental issue of actually having one.
Yeah. Some of the questions that we're going to answer today are the following. As a business owner, will a trust prevent creditors from getting their hands on my assets, which is always a concern, especially that business people, if things turn sour, they don't want their assets to go. Can they shove it in a trust and walk out clean?
Yeah, no, that's a very important one. How about if you are married in community of property?
Well, that's also a great one. Yeah. Will your spouse be able to get a grip on your assets? It doesn't matter how you married, in community or by ANC.
Yeah.
Also, on your death, Lines, would having a trust save you losing a whole lot of money to SARS on taxes?
Eish. Yeah, no, that's a serious one.
Yeah. Now, there's one person in this town who knows a whole lot about this. She's an authority on it. She's a specialist. She's written a book on it. Her name is Fia van der Spay. She's the founder of Trust, of this very company, Trustees, it's called, Trustees or trustees.co.za. She holds a BCom, listen to this one, Lines, a BCom honors, a master's in commerce,
sure,
local and international tax, and she's also a chartered accountant, a CASA.
Okay.
So we don't mess around on this show. We get the best.
This is the swaggest show in the world, Gary. I mean, we bring the Rolls Royce of the Rolls Royce in studio, and they always bring the best advice insofar as your topics are concerned. And you are going to give us your the Facebook page and everything else. And
well, let's bring in firstly Fia, P-H-I-A. Fia van der Spay, welcome to you. It's so good to have you in studio.
Thanks very much, Gary.
Excellent. You advise on trust matters on a daily basis. This is your business, so I think you probably know more than most you do. I've read tons of your articles. They're in the Financial Mail and all over the place.
Absolutely. We live, dream, sleep trusts.
Yeah.
And we're on a massive drive to educate the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we want them to also live, dream, sleep their trusts and never be disillusioned by any creditors or SARS or ex-spouses.
Fia has also written a book, if you're interested in trust. It's called Demystifying Trust in South Africa. It was written to educate and guide consumers on trust issues.
Wow.
It's a good book.
Absolutely.
So anyone who really wants more, but I think after today, and I don't want to say that, people will need more. And today's just a teaser, really. So your book is available. Our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. Lines, you do the Twitter.
It's at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. And you can always just pose your questions on our Facebook page and we'll find a specialist within the specific area of law that you are actually having queries in. And we'll talk about it and unpack it like we are going to be doing today. With a specialist.
Yeah, we're proud to be associated with Legal Talk South Africa with their membership of, I think it's UMPRA, 175,000 members with their boss, Ray Green.
Yes, no, and it's constantly growing. And this partnership, it's the best of the best insofar as actually making sure that our people in our communities actually get the legal advice that they actually need on a daily basis. And kudos to you as the leader and the driver of this show, Gary, because you're doing a phenomenal work. And not only that, but you also do write articles sometimes.
Yeah, I do, Lions.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Fia van der Spay, the general perception is that a trust is for the rich. And I'll tell you why. I mean, we all know that people believe that, but let's take a question that we got from off the Legal Talk South African page. It comes from Nombo Viselo. She says, how does one go about starting a trust and what are the costs involved? That's the general question. And this is not from, on the face of it, wealthy. She says, I'm considering putting a property that I'm inheriting into a family trust. I'd like to know how to go about that and what it would cost me. So give it to us.
Yeah. Gary, that is such an important question. Contrary to what the popular belief is, that trusts are for the wealthy, I think the sooner you start with a trust, knowing that you're going to be wealthy one day, and wealthy is also relative, I think the sooner you start, the better. So if you wait too long, unfortunately, it may become impractical to actually set up a trust and move all your assets from your personal name into a trust at a later stage.
We're going to talk about that later. If we wake up late and we decide, you know, let's create a trust, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about the foundation phase now.
Yes. So to get back to the question, when to actually register a trust, it's important when it should be a part of your estate plan. It's not something in isolation, event-driven, such as, you know, I'm buying a property now, should I have a trust? I think it's a much broader consideration to start off with. So to start a trust, I think it's very important to actually speak to the right people to assist you. A trust is not some standard document that you put together and basically change names and change ID numbers and there you have your trust deed. It's very important to get somebody to help you to tailor make the trust around your specific requirements, and therefore that would determine, you know, what the trust is used for, how you protect yourself, the whole purpose of the trust.
Fear, is there a benchmark? If I've got 100,000, I've got 1 million, I've got 5 million, I've got just a property. Yeah. When do I create the trust?
There are so many considerations, and we'll talk about the number, but I think other considerations that you have to take into account is risk. A lot of people are starting up their own businesses, and a trust is a magnificent tool to actually help you to safeguard against creditors. So there's not a number, right? So if you have an asset, whether it's 1 million rand, whether it's 30 million rand, it is at risk if it's in your personal name and not well protected in a vehicle such as a trust. People always want to refer back to numbers. For those who don't know, there's an estate duty abatement of 3.5 million rand per person. So if you want to come back to a number, for a couple, that's 7 million rand. So the receiver haven't adapted that number for a long time. And for those who know, the Davis Tax Committee has been looking at trust for the past number of years. And there were suggestions to actually overhaul the entire estate duty provisions, really looking the numbers, and we thought probably this year, if anything, that was going to be touched. So we saw the only thing that was touched in this budget speech was changing the estate duty rate. So the 7 million rand hasn't been touched. So
okay, let's talk about that 7 million. I'm a couple with my wife or whatever.
Yeah.
If we've got if one of us dies or both of us are killed in a car crash,
yes,
the receiver revenue gets nothing under 7.5 million rand. Is that correct?
Yes. So that's why we have to refer to the couple. There's 3.5 million per person, limited to 7, and then if one spouse dies, there's this rollover between, you know, spouses. So the 3.5 million would go from the deceased spouse to the surviving spouse. There you get your 7 million rand. And once that last surviving spouse dies, then it would be 7 million rand. But so now be careful when you remarry and remarry, because, you know, it's not 3.5 million.
Sorry, if one of the spouses dies, then there's no tax on his 3.5 million. It goes to the other spouse.
Yeah, while there's a surviving spouse, all assets would roll over to the remaining spouse, the surviving spouse, and only upon that spouse's death, then there will be estate duty.
What is estate duty? How much is it?
Estate duty used to be 20% of the net estate.
Yeah.
But the receiver has this year, for the first time in a long time, adapted that rate. So estates in excess of 30 million rand is now 25%.
And below that?
And below is 20%.
Okay.
So 20 and 25%.
Okay. So if I'm a person going into business right now, I'm 30 years old or 25 years old, do I need a trust?
Best if you start a trust before you accumulate wealth. I don't think any of us start a business not to create wealth, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, it's critical to actually get your structures in place, put the shareholding
what
in the trust.
What does it cost? Yeah.
Careful to get the cheap and cheerful options because this is a very important document that you have to make sure people actually made the effort and spent the time with you. So I don't think it's something that you want to do cheap, but the going rate, I would say anything from about 3,500 rand, and I've heard people charging up to about 12,000-15,000 rand. So I think it's pretty much, you know, on whose door you knock.
Now, does that trust need to be audited on an annual basis?
Absolutely not. I think that's a massive misconception where people think it has to be audited. Mm. You have to make sure it states in your trust deed that it hasn't have to be audited and that the trustees may decide if they want to have it audited at some point. But it's not a requirement.
Is it just a normal part of my tax return? Is that or not? Who puts in on a trust?
Yeah, a trust is a funny animal. It's not regarded as a legal entity that can transact on its own. Mm. It has to be done through the trustees. But certain acts, such as the Income Tax Act, regard a trust as a person. Mm. Therefore, it gets taxed on its own. So a trust has its own tax return. You have to register every trust with SARS and submit the necessary tax returns on an annual basis.
Are the tax rates the same as an individual or different?
Absolutely not. And that's, I think, where a lot of people have been put off lately from trusts. With the focus on trusts, the income tax rate for trusts is 45%. Mm-hmm. That is the marginal rate for individuals as well. And then for capital gains tax, it's 36% versus individuals maximum 18%. But if you look at the number, it scares a lot of people away. But you have to look at how you actually structure your transactions. Remember, the trust, and I think a lot of people don't know that, a trust is the taxpayer of last resort. In other words, the trust doesn't automatically get taxed at these higher rates. You start off firstly with, do you tax a person who probably gave an interest-free or soft loan to the trust? In that instance, all income generated from that interest-free loan or donation gets taxed in the hands of the person who did that. Secondly, the trustees can decide before the end of the financial year whether they want to retain that income or capital gain in the trust and let the trust be taxed on it, or whether they distribute it to the beneficiaries. And for those who follow the Davis Tax Committee, there's been a massive attack on the conduit principle, which means you can literally, that the trust is just kind of a flow through. So the income or the capital gain gets taxed in the hands of the beneficiaries instead of the trust. Now that still remains. So SARS hasn't managed to remove that very, very, very core principle to trusts.
Let's talk about who the trustees are. Who would I appoint as my trustees, and how does it operate on a day-to-day basis, yeah, the trust?
I think people don't often understand the different role players in trusts. Mm. If I can explain a trustee is the decision maker in the trust. Whether you're a beneficiary, whether you're founder, well, the founder should normally not have wide powers, but just to set up the trust. So the trustees are absolutely critical people to appoint, and also to deal in your trust deed, how do you appoint follow-up trustees, because that's where the shenanigans happen. Mm-hmm. So trustees, as I say, the board of trustees are the decision makers, and it's absolutely important that you actually have the right people on that board of trustees.
Do I nominate someone from my family, or someone from my attorney, or someone from your company?
Interesting. From about 2010, the courts got tired of people abusing the trust form. Mm. And often the banks suffered as a result of abuse by trustees. So they started making noises to have this person called an independent trustee representing trusts, just to make sure that the trust form is not abused. Mm. So that's been coming from about 2010. And last year, the master in a directive in March last year said, from now on, every family business trust, as they defined it, will now have independent trustee. So any new trust that are registered have to have an independent trustee. Mm. And then the master went on to define what that person looks like. Mm. It is typically an independent professional person, such as a lawyer or an accountant.
Does he get paid for that?
Trustees are entitled to be remunerated. So I think it's whatever's been negotiated between the Board of Trustees and then this independent trustee person.
Okay.
And I just need to say can also be a company, because a lot of people, there's confusion. Doesn't need to be a physical person, or can it be a company represented by a person?
Hmm. Let's take another question, then it'll lead to where I want to go. It comes from... Who does this one come from? Nomvuyo. She says, is it wise to transfer the house to a trust? And if yes, how does that work?
Yeah. When you decide about where to house property, I think property is so broad. The very first important thing is, if it's your house, your primary residence, you really need to think carefully.
Why do you want to put it into a trust? What's the advantage?
I think the overall reason why people would put it into a trust is the risk argument, mm-hmm. More than a numbers argument.
Give me the risks of having it in my own name as against it being in a trust.
So now you're a business owner and you incur any business risk. Mm-hmm. Now one of the creditors coming after you, any asset held in your personal name, including the shares of your company, the membership in your CC, the house that you have, your cars, your clothes, everything is at risk, in the event of an attack or a liquidation. So anything that you actually remove away from yourself, such as a trust, is then not forming part of that.
Well, on that very note, can't the creditors, it's called pierce the veil, can't they say, hold on, that trust that's sitting with that beautiful house is yours?
Absolutely. And I think it's not just set up a trust and then you're 100% protected. I think that's where a lot of people actually get it wrong. Mm. And I am of the firm belief that a lot of people are not educated sufficiently in terms of what you need to do with this animal called a trust. It needs to be administered on an ongoing basis. So a lot of people may have heard the term an alter ego. It basically means an extension of yourself. Mm. So a lot of people, especially in the old days, set up a trust, but they literally dealt with the assets of the trust as if it were their own. So they buy and sell. They instruct the so-called independent attorney. I've now bought a house. I sold the house. Just let's just do the paperwork. That's not how you go about with assets in a trust. You have to actually involve the Board of Trustees. Mm. So if the creditor or your ex-spouse or SARS can prove that you actually were just using the trust form to hide your assets behind, they probably can pierce that veil. And there were court cases where that's been proved. And the courts are getting, as I said, quite tired of people abusing the trust form. So you better make sure your ongoing administration is done. You've got a bank account. You registered this animal for tax. You submit your returns. There's financial statements. You have your annual meetings. So there's a lot to do to actually make sure you can prove that this animal is kept alive.
Fia, there are a lot of disgruntled spouses that when they start getting divorced, they find out that the man or the woman, but generally it's the man, has no assets in his personal name. It's all in his darn trust.
Oh,
and their lawyer says, well, you can't nix cranny because he doesn't own anything. It's all in his trust. Is that nonsense?
It's funny that there's a lot of court cases, and unfortunately, it was always the poor women who, were suffering. But I think the women are also getting clever now, so they probably start having their own trust. So, but traditionally, typically, the husband started their trust and said, you know what, don't worry. One day, when I'm no longer there, just use that file. Everything is sorted. And once get to a divorce, the wives often realize too late that they're not a trustee, the decision maker of the trust, so they've got no say. Mm. If they're not a beneficiary, it's even worse. So if you're not either a beneficiary or a trustee, you literally have no say. At least if you're a beneficiary, you have rights in that you can ask for proper administration.
Sorry to interrupt. What happens if the husband makes his children the beneficiary, excluding his wife, which is the general case?
Then, as I said, unfortunately, that poor wife has absolutely no say. She can't even ask for financial records. At least if you're a beneficiary, and there are court cases where you can actually ask for financial statements to see that the trust is administered properly. But as I said, often the poor wives are none of the two, and then basically you cannot really attack that trust.
Lan, do you want to ask?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out how important is to have a trust and a will, and are the two different?
Yes, that's a very good question. Yes, yeah. A trust, remember, is if you want to compare that, it's almost like a company to house your assets in. A will determines what must happen to any assets that are remaining in your name. It also deals with things such as, do you want to be cremated or buried? Who do your follow-up trustee should be? So it's important when you have a trust to make 100% sure your will and your trust complement one another. Okay. And that was the latest article I've written. We see a lot of people where two different professionals, the one set up the trust deed, the one set up the will, and you know, they never actually looked at the other document, and then often there's conflict. Now you must remember, a trust deed is a contract, it's a legal contract, so that's going to override a will, however sad that may sound. So it's very important to make sure you do your will and your trust, let them actually acknowledge one another, and then also important in your will to deal with such things such as your follow-up trustees, etc. So they need to acknowledge one another.
People want to later on in their life transfer assets into a trust. They've started doing very well. They want to put their stuff into a trust. What is the tax on that? Can you just take your house now and transfer it to a trust, or do you pay tax? How does that work?
I wish it was so simple. Unfortunately, we know that SARS are not favouring trusts a lot, so they've brought in all sorts of provisions to scare people away from having trusts and to house their assets in there. There are a couple of costs that you have to consider. As I said, you may still get to a point where you say, I'm running such a risk in my personal name that I don't care what these costs are, but you have to be well aware. If you move that asset from your personal name to a thing such as a trust, there is this the capital gains tax implication. Mm-hmm. It is regarded as a disposal. Yes. So there will be capital gains tax on your growth.
There's transfer duty?
There's transfer duty if it's a property.
Yes.
And then also, how do you get now this asset probably paid off from your personal name into a trust? A trust doesn't have money, right? And that's exactly where SARS's latest attack came from, where they now tax these interest-free loans, where people historically transfer their assets into the trust. The trust typically doesn't have money. Yeah. So they do it on an interest-free loan, because now people don't want to pay income tax on the interest.
You can't donate the house, can you? That's also
Of course you can donate it. But there's two implications. First of all, donations tax at 20%. Straight away, with the first 100,000 obviously being free, because that's your annual allowance that you have. But now remember what we discussed earlier, if you donate or if you transfer an asset at a soft loan, then just be mindful that any income that you may produce from that property, if it's not your primary residence, will now be taxed in your personal hands, because that's an anti-avoidance tax provision. So remember that the trust is the taxpayer of last resort. So first, it's going to be that person who made the interest-free loan or the donation. Secondly, it's the beneficiaries who we transfer the income or the capital gain to, and then lastly it's a trust. So just be mindful of the tax consequences later on if you transfer a property.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you, would you advise people to buy a house under a CC or PTY LTD as opposed to their names, just so that at least it's under a juristic person as opposed to a natural person, and later on transfer the rights of that into a trust?
Is this is this where you want to go? Because it's not really a trust question. Are you comfortable
with that? 100%. Yeah. I think a lot of people say, you know, where do I put this thing? You know, what should be held in the trust? I think, again, you need to understand, you know, what your objective is with buying this property. Are you going to live in it for a long time? Because remember, even if you transfer it into a company or a CC, you lose that primary residence rebate, that 2 million rand capital gains benefit straight away. But now say we transfer it into a CC or a company, those shares must be held by somebody or something. It can either be yourself in your personal name, then the growth will happen in your personal name, because that's what you're going to transfer one day into the trust, right? Mm-hmm. So again, same story. So now the house's value increased in the company. Now the value of the company increased. So by transferring those shares, it triggers the same capital gains tax. It triggers the same funding issue. But there are circumstances which it makes sense to actually, you know, insert that extra legal entity from a tax planning point of view going forward.
So Bello is the one who actually wanted to know a question that I asked you a few minutes ago. Can I register my property in a trust now and take it out to my name, I'm not quite sure, before I sell it to avoid capital gains tax?
That was an interesting one. Yeah. I think it's a loaded question.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I think just a couple of
principles. You may work for SARS. You've got to
A couple of principles. To take out the property is regarded as a disposal, because now the trust now, so to speak, sells the property to yourself, and that disposal triggers capital gains tax. That's how the capital gains tax laws work. So to just transfer it out of your name, out of the trust into your personal name, is actually that disposal that the capital gains tax is triggered from.
Truthfully, Fia, a trust to the average employee who's on a job and he earns well is not very appetizing the way I see it. I know it's your business, but I can't see the great advantage to an employee. Am I wrong about that?
I think that's why we jumped in and educated people a number of years ago. There are so-called professionals who went on this drive to sell multiple trust structures. And unfortunately, a lot of, you know, as you say, employee-type people actually got caught in this net. Mm. And a lot of them have had like 3 to 5 trusts where they bought these properties in. There was this whole structure to build a property portfolio. So unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are only employees who should probably never have had trust in the first place, yeah. But now they're sitting with them. So I'll say that like half pregnant right now. So you can't just look the other way. Now you have to actually make work with what you've got. Mm. So it is sad, because I think a lot of people in South Africa have trust who should probably never, you know.
You've written extensively on wills, make sure your will and your trust, and but especially your will document to the average person out there, is properly drawn. And I know the banks offer these free wills.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on that one? Do we go to the bank for a free will, or what should we do?
I'm of the view, if something is too good to be true, it probably is. And I think the will is the last document in your life that you want to rush or get cheap or free. So I think, you know, whether ever you pay for it or not pay for it, make sure it's tailored for your personal circumstances. It's not just changing a name and changing ID numbers. Mm. It's very important to tailor that document.
I think
to
the banks today have quite specialized departments, so I think they should be credited with that. But in any case, before the banks sue us, we've got like 2 minutes or so left. How do you want to sum up, and I give you the floor, go ahead and say whatever you want to say about trust.
Yeah, I think, you know, coming the last couple of years, I think trust definitely has a place. Trust benefits are for the following reasons. First of all, it's asset protection. So as I said earlier, a lot of the people who've got businesses or just need to get risk away from themselves, a trust is the only vehicle. If you set it up properly, you can achieve that. Secondly, it continuity upon death. You know, upon your death, the trust literally just goes on as per normal. It provides liquidity if it's well structured and you made provision for it. Often, you know, estates are frozen, so a trust, as it just carries on. If you've got liquidity in there, at least you can support the family. And then lastly, it's not a benefit, you know, that people should aim and have that their prime reason for setting up a trust, but you still, if you structure it well, there are still estate duty advantages. Mm-hmm. But when I actually wrote the book and I did a lot of research, I realized a lot of people only think, you know, one day when I die, you know, is the trust going to be worth my while? But I don't think if people consider really, with all these modern diseases such as Alzheimer's, you know, are you ready, and with everybody's children that are going all over in the world, are you ready if something happens to you, such as, you know, getting Alzheimer's, that you are actually properly looked after? So trust, remember, you're already happy with the board of trustees. They know you, they know your circumstances, they know your needs. So it actually may, you know, have almost like the fifth, you know, category of benefits.
Mm. Excellent. Mm. Yeah, thank you very much. We've been talking to a person called Fia van der Spay, and she's from Trustees. You want to spell it for us?
Trust, EEZD.
Okay. .co.za if you want further information. Many thanks for making your way here. You're in Johannesburg, but I know you travel around.
Correct, yeah.
Thank you for this. You are the authority on this, and we appreciate your time. We'll call you back again. We've got stuff that we need to talk about next time.
Anytime.
As well.
This is CliffCentral.com.